Blog Talk Radio.
Pause I Am Radio with your host, Robert Brining, sharing stories from across the United States and around the world. To join the conversation, call 929-477-3572. That's 929-477-3572. Each week, we'll bring you our exclusive HIV scoop with Josh Robbins and your positive message from Rise Up to HIV and Kevin Maloney. Your weekly dose of hope. Pause I Am Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I'm so excited to be back with my co-host, Brady Dale. Hello, Brady.
Hey, Robert. How are you today?
Good. Happy Sunday. This is a good weekend for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's been a great weekend. My man is in town, and I'm getting to play tourist in Nashville, even though it's a little bit chilly out there, but we are having a great time. Been out all morning downtown, and thankfully, I just live a couple miles from downtown, so I ran home to do the show, and then we're going to go back out and see more of the city here in a little bit. How about you?
Well, I'm sitting here in Philadelphia freezing my butt off. It definitely feels like winter has arrived.
Yeah, same here. We have, like, no fall, it seems like. We just went straight from summer right into winter this year.
Yeah, it's like 48 degrees, so we're kind of chilly here in the good old state of Pennsylvania. But, you know, what do you expect? That's kind of one of the reasons I like living here. So during your sightseeing, have you seen any celebrities or anything?
Only people who thought they were celebrities, but no real celebrities.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys are having fun. I'm excited about today's show. You know, I actually met Katie through you at Positive Living. But I want to talk a little bit for people maybe who missed last week's show. I just want to remind them that they can find all of our archived interviews on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. You can download them for free. But last week we had the insanely funny Mark S. King on, who shared a little bit about his story and his humor with us. What were your thoughts of last week's show?
I really always enjoy talking to Mark. I walk away with a little bit more insight. And he has that ability to make you see things, not only see things from a different perspective, but, you know, he hits on those emotional cords and where people can actually connect to what he's saying. And I just love having it. And then, like you said, it's always, not only does it come with a little bit of knowledge, but it comes with a laugh usually from Mark King. So.
Yeah, I love that man. He's a great activist and definitely knows how to tell a story. We'll say it that way. And make you laugh, you know, as you said. But I want to move on to today's guest. Katie is actually – I want you to introduce Katie because you know Katie a little bit better than I do. So.
Well, I had the opportunity. Yeah, I met Katie a few years ago. Actually, I want to think it was one of my very first Positive Living conferences is where I first met Katie. And then as I've got further into my advocacy work and taking on the chairman of the National Regional HIV Planning Council and them being able to send me then to conferences and me increasing my network, I started running into Katie at various places and at these conferences and things. And just hearing, you know, bits and pieces, I never like hung out with Katie. But sitting next to her, I could hear her or hear her part of her story. And the more I heard, the more intrigued I became. And then she got involved with the You Equals You campaign, which all of our listeners are pretty well very adamant about and very involved with the Prevention Access campaign and You Equals You. And we brought Katie on, and I love, love, love what Katie has done. And it's kind of like really spurred and sparked her advocacy and her fight against HIV stigma. But I'm really excited to bring her on and talk to her more.
Yeah, so a little bit, I just want to go ahead and read a little bit of her bio here. It says, Katie Willingham is a woman of transgender experience and in rural North Alabama, diagnosed in June of 2000, but she didn't step into her advocacy role until January of 2017. So let's go ahead and bring on this brave woman. Hello, Katie. How are you, honey?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
They
are
great. Yes.
How are things in Alabama this afternoon?
Oh, it's beautiful right now. It's like 60-something degrees, but I mean, it's cold for us, but it's
right.
Cold. Like summer to Robert.
It would feel like
you're right.
Summer.
It would feel like summer to Robert down here.
But actually, the funny thing is 2 days ago we were in the 60s and it was nice and hot. We're all wearing shorts, and now we're all got our heat on, and it just won't make up its mind over here.
Right. Same here.
So, Katie, go ahead first. I want to say thank you for coming on the show. It was a pleasure
It
was a pleasure meeting you at Positive Living. It was one of the highlights that I took away was meeting you and just hanging out with you all the extra day at the beach with Bruce. It was just really nice to kind of, and Jamie, you know, to just relax.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed meeting you and that's something I've never really done before, was stay an extra day to hang out at the beach for a little bit, but I thought it was, we had the time this year and it was needed. It was good.
Good deal. Well, hey Katie, let's kind of just get in here. I would love to talk to you and find out more about, could you tell me about Katie before your diagnosis?
Well, before my diagnosis, I was in a completely different world. I had not begun to transition yet. I mean, I was diagnosed in 2000, and I didn't come out as transgender until like 2014.
Okay.
So when I was diagnosed, I was working, and I was working as a vault setter, and I had for a long time for probably over a year, I had been having trouble breathing and eating, and I'd brushed it off. I was very stubborn back then about going to the doctor. I wouldn't go to the doctor unless I was gushing blood or something, you know, unless I was losing a limb or something.
Right.
So I put it off. I kept thinking that my shortness of breath was due to my smoking. I was maybe catching emphysema like my grandfather did. And, you know, figured there wasn't nothing that could be done anyways. So,
right.
I was really having trouble breathing. So I finally went to a doctor, and he was treating me for anxiety. And I kept telling him, this is not anxiety. I just got a raise at work. Everything was great at home. You know, there was no need for me to have anxiety. And, but he wouldn't listen. He couldn't find anything else wrong with me. So that's what he treated me for. And I progressively got worse. Finally, I changed doctors. And
good for you.
I found another doctor. He was young, but he was really good. He was really smart. Had an excellent, wonderful bedside manner. And I went to his office a couple times. I think the second or third time I went to his office, I walked into the office to sign in. The nurse behind the counter took a look at me and wide-eyed, and took me straight back into the observation room. They said I was blue as a Smurf. And they called an ambulance, took me straight to the hospital from there. And I was in the hospital for 10 days. I didn't sleep for those entire 10 days. I thought that I was dying. I wasn't leaving that hospital. And every time the doctors came into the room, it was more bad news. Every time they took a test and came back with the answers, it was more bad news. It was like it was just too much to take. They found out that I had I was having trouble eating because I had a large infection in my stomach.
Oh.
I had PCP pneumonia and HIV positive. I was officially diagnosed with AIDS.
Gotcha.
And my viral load was over 700,000, nearly 800. My CD4 was 42.
Oh.
And my doctor, I asked him, just so I could know, have some kind of idea what I was looking at. I was like, what would you give me as far as outlook? And he told me that I had 1 to 5 years to live.
Oh, wow.
He said, it would be more than a year, but 5 would be pushing it.
Wow.
So I would get my affairs in order. And that was, that's what I wanted. I wanted the truth, but, from then on.
Still hearing it, I'm sure, took you back some.
Right. And so, I mean, you could tell from the looks in the nurse's eyes and the doctor's eyes that none of them thought I was going to live. And
what day did that change for you? What day did you say, I'm going to be here and I'm going to make it through this?
That took a while, actually. I mean, I had a diet, I was given 1 to 5 years. So for those five, for the next 5 years, I lived in terror. I was terrified of catching a cold. I was terrified of anyone who was sick in any way. Now, about 6 months.
Did it make you isolate even? I'm sorry, Katie, did that make you isolate even more, like not going out in public and avoiding like large crowds and things like that as well?
Oh, yes. I was terrified of crowds. I would not go to my children's school for anything. I was terrified of children, because,
right.
Children are usually special always
germ
sick.
Carriers.
And I was terrified of my kids, of them giving me an illness. I was terrified of my blood, of what I could give them. And I mean, so, I didn't have a whole lot to do with my own children for a while. That was rough. For the first 5 years, I lived in, terror. And for the next 5 years, after that, I still continued to look over my shoulder, feeling like I was on borrowed time.
Right.
It started to come across after about 10 years that I wasn't going to die anytime soon. That I was undetectable, and back then I didn't fully know what that meant. All I knew was that that meant I'm not going to die from a simple illness like the cold, or
right.
or you know, a flu or something. My
right.
body.
That's what many of our providers back in during that time would tell us about being undetectable, is that it just meant would be healthier.
Right.
That was right.
So I didn't fear every little illness like I did. I knew I could take over the counter medications like everybody else. You know, as long as I was undetectable, I felt somewhat okay.
Right.
But I still felt dangerous. You know, I feared playing with my kids and scraping my elbow on something, or cooking dinner and cutting myself.
Let me ask you this. During that time when you're so terrified of living with HIV and not wanting to transmit or pass on the virus to anyone else, how did that kind of play into your transition? Were you afraid to pursue your transition? Did any of that play into it, or how did that work for you?
Well, that's probably why I didn't transition till a lot later, because I mean, before my diagnosis, I was living in the mask. I was trying to be what everyone wanted and expected me to be. After my diagnosis, I didn't work anymore, and I was at home. I started to come out at home a little bit more, but I had no thoughts of coming out publicly completely, because I didn't feel that there was any use. I wasn't going to live long.
Makes sense. So it was like, what's the point? Why go through all of that if I'm just going to turn around and die? I understand now, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like I was living in misery, not being myself, but I knew there would be great consequences to it, and like you said, what's the point? I'll be gone soon anyway, so.
You know, Katie, you say that, you know, this is Robert, when you were diagnosed, the doctor, you know, sat down and told you that you had, you know, between 1 to 5 years, and you know, you were diagnosed actually a year prior to me, because I was diagnosed in June of 2001, and to still be sitting here now, you know, 17, 18 years later, you know, how does that make you feel?
Amazing. I did not think back then, especially, I did not think I would see this far, and living this normally, for lack of a better word. I mean, I feel just like anybody else. You know, I live with a chronic condition that's easily treatable with medication, same as diabetes or COPD, which I also have. I have more trouble out of my COPD than I do my HIV.
Right. So for the timeline, you were diagnosed in 2000, and then you said you came out publicly about your transition. Was that in 2014? Am I correct with that timeline?
It was right. It was around in there.
Around in 2014, and then in 2017, you decided to kind of really spread your wings and open up in the HIV advocacy field and really get more involved. And I want to take a quick little break, and play this week's HIV Scoop, and then we can come back and we can talk about how you kind of got involved with that, because you're really hefty involved for somebody who's been involved for a little bit over a year. So I want to talk about all the good stuff that you're doing, and I want to talk about how you, you know, came to that decision to do, you know, to put yourself out there, because it's difficult to do that at times. So hold on for 1 second. We'll be right back with Katie Williams.
This is the all-new HIV Scoop with Josh Robbins, exclusively for Pause IM Radio. This week's buzzworthy sexual health news in under 2 minutes. Here's Josh Robbins with this week's HIV Scoop.
Well, what's up, everyone? How are y'all? It's a cold, cold day in Nashville. It looks like we've kind of skipped fall, and now it's like winter or something. I don't know. All right. Pharma Forum reports Veev Healthcare has applied for a fast U.S. review of its single-tablet, two-drug HIV drug regimen, and they're going directly against Gilead. The joint venture said that it will use a priority review voucher to cut the length of the drug's FDA review from 10 months to 6 months. And trials so far have shown that the two drug combination is as effective at suppressing the disease as commonly used three drug combination, but with fewer side effects. So congratulations to them. All right, in a poll on imstilljosh.com, I asked readers to answer two questions. One, did they attend HIV conferences? And number two, would they attend a completely virtual online HIV conference? The results in this unscientific and limited polling might surprise you. 43% did not attend any national in-person HIV conferences. 43%. Though we don't know the exact reason for this, I think that we could probably guess it's fair to say that cost could be a contributing factor. Robert and Brady, these things are expensive to go to, or as we say in the South, expensive. This is so expensive. But 92% said they would attend a virtual HIV conference. With that said, important news that is breaking right here. Save the date, y'all. Friday, December the 7th is the inaugural HIV Activism Digital Summit. Details are coming next week, but save the date. Friday, December the 7th, online, will be the HIV Activism Digital Summit. And that news is breaking exclusively today on Pause IM Radio. Whoop whoop! I'm Josh Robbins, and this was your HIV Scoop.
And there you have it. Thank you, Josh Robbins. For more information on Josh and HIV Scoop, go to imstilljosh.com. I'm back here live with Katie and Brady and Robert. What's up, everyone?
Hey, Katie. Talking about conferences, and we all know, you know, those of us who have gotten involved with advocacy, these conferences, like Josh said, are not cheap. I myself did not even be able to go, wasn't able to go to a conference until I began volunteering in my community and took over this chair position, became the chair of the National Regional HIV Planning Council and began them paying to send me to these places. But it was also at conferences, I believe, the first time I met you was at a Positive Liver conference a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. The first conference I went to was Positive Living 2015. I was offered the opportunity from by my ASO, Thrive Alabama, which I love Thrive Alabama. They are my family. I feel like they saved my life. They have been with me every step of the way of my, of my development from about to die to today.
Awesome.
They have been awesome. But they offered me the opportunity to go to this conference in Florida, and I didn't know what it was. I had never been to a conference before. And to be honest, the first one I went to, it was kind of more of a vacation than anything.
Right.
But meeting the people and going to the workshops, you know, it put something in me. It really sparked my interest. I felt so much respect for these people who were doing things in their communities and, you know, doing things to help people living with HIV, and I really respected that. And I wanted to get involved in some way myself, but I didn't know where or how.
Right. And I know that there's a lot of our listeners, a lot of people are the same way. They feel like they want, or they know that they want to get involved. They just don't know how.
Yeah.
And how lucky were you, Katie, that the first conference you actually went to was the Positive Living Conference? I mean, that conference is like the mecca of conferences for people with HIV. You know, there's so much support and so much love there. It's, well, you really lucked out. And to hear that it's still, you know, because at the time when you guys met each other there, I was taking a break from my advocacy. And to hear that that conference, you know, after me taking a couple of years off and coming back, that it's still basically blossoming new activists, you know, time and time again, I think it's just, it's a test to what the conference, you know, is about, and how the people like Butch and everyone at Oasis run it. It's awesome.
It is. It's really very much a close and intimate atmosphere, and you feel welcomed, you feel comfortable, and
supported,
right?
Yeah. Well, Katie, was it at this conference that you got involved with the Positive Women's Network, or?
No, that was the next year in 2016.
Okay.
You know, so for that year, I didn't really do anything. I was searching for somewhere to get involved and couldn't find anything. In 2016, I went to Positive Living again. Before Positive Living, there was the PWN Speak Up Summit.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who knows the Positive Women's Network knows they will light a fire in you. And
right.
And they did me. Their atmosphere was electric. It was awesome. And then I knew I really wanted to get involved. Somehow I had to get involved. 2016 was also the year I met, was also the first year I heard the U equals U message. That was when I saw Bruce at Positive Living. And so 2016 changed everything for me. It changed my, I mean, it's really sparked my desire to get involved in advocacy and changed how I saw myself. You know, for the first time in 15 years, I didn't see myself as a walking biohazard, as, you know,
right,
as a bottle of poison. You know,
yeah.
I felt freer to be intimate with others, to go into crowds and all kinds of things. You know, it changed everything.
So, Katie, being at Positive Living in 2016, you heard Bruce for the first time. Is that the first time you heard him speak there?
Yes.
Okay, so and that's the first time that you heard the U equals U message?
Yes.
So taking it from there, you know, you're saying the first time you don't feel like you're toxic, that you're, you know, a biohazard. Taking and feeling that message and hearing it for the first time and then leaving, you have done so much in a year from to this year's Positive Living. I want to talk about how did you end up getting involved with the campaign, and I want to talk about this new video that's coming out because Positive Series?
Positive Series, yes. I'm so proud of Positive Series. Excited about it.
Yeah, because this year at Positive Living, when Bruce spoke about it, he actually played your video, which I didn't actually know that until the end, that it was you and you were there, and, you know, it was touching. Was that the first time that you saw that video, or did you see that before?
No, that was actually the first time for me, too. I'd been speaking with the artists and everything and given my information and input and, you know, working with her, but I hadn't seen anything yet except for she had sent me a picture of the character, and that was all I had seen. The first time I saw my video was at USCA with everyone else.
What were your thoughts? I mean, did you know? Well, one, did you know Bruce was going to play it?
Yes, he had told me.
Okay.
Before going to USCA, that it was going to be the Positive Series was going to be revealed at USCA, and I was so excited about it. I couldn't wait to see it myself.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations. You know, we just had Davina on, I think 2 weeks ago, and she actually was a part of that series as well. So it's great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, and she has an awesome video too. I love her artwork and her story is powerful.
It's a real creative way to tell a story.
It is
beautiful.
Right.
It is beautiful. For our listeners, if you're not aware, you can go to positiveseries.com, I believe. Or is it positiveseries.org? Okay, it's positiveseries.org, and you can check that out. It is a campaign done by VIV and Prevention Access Campaign, in which you can download posters, flyers, palm cards, postcards, all customizable, too, and you can add your own agency's logo. And it's all free.
Brady, this is the first time I'm going to the website, right? So I just said, let me just punch it in and go ahead. So if you're listening, you have to go to it, positiveseries.org. It is so cool. You go to the way you have these little cartoon characters, and they're all talking about you equals you. It's just really cool and hip, and it's fun. You know, people have to go check it out.
It is. And like I said, it's fun to play around with, you know, there's different messaging, correct messaging about you equals you, and you can move things around. And like I said, it's fun. And you can spend almost, you know, hours playing around with it and designing what you want. Well, Katie, other than you equals you, you are also, are you still the community engagement coordinator for Thrive Alabama?
I know. I am on the community advisory board.
That's right. That's right.
With Thrive Alabama, that was actually the first thing I did after coming back from Positive Living, 2016. That following November, December, I saw an application for the community advisory board, and I signed up for that. I had found my opening, you know, somewhere to get involved. And so, it all started happening really fast. Like, once it started, I got a call from someone with the Alabama Department of Public Health who invited me to join the HIV prevention HIV prevention and care planning group.
Awesome. Okay.
And right after that, I was invited to join the Positive Women's Network Policy Fellowship. And I fell in love with Positive Women's Network in 2016. So I jumped at that opportunity. And
Positive Women's Network, for our listeners who aren't aware, Positive Women's Network is probably the most fierce advocacy group that I have ever encountered in my life. between Nana and Barb and Katie and Jenny and Tiomi, these women are leading the way. They are like leading the way for us. But tell us more though about just some of your local efforts there in Alabama. Some of the things that you're doing on a local advocate level.
Well, locally, I run my social media pages. I go to my meetings with the Prevention Access Campaign. I go to my meetings with the Community Advisory Board, and we have quarterly meetings in Montgomery for the HIV Prevention and Care Group.
Okay.
At Thrive, we also started a advocacy program called I Advocate Project. There are 14 of us, and we talk to people locally, just advocate, in any way we can. Locally, and we have monthly meetings.
Okay.
I share a lot of information on my group page, Alabama Pause Life, or Alabama Coalition.
And that's on Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook, Alabama Pause Life or Alabama Transgender Coalition. And I also run PWN Alabama Members and Allies.
Okay.
So
you're a big girl.
Yeah. It's like I feel like I went from not doing anything and wanting to get involved to jumping off in the deep end of the ocean, not knowing how to swim yet.
I've been learning fast. Yes, I think that happens to a lot of us new advocates when we first come on the scene and we begin seeing the opportunities that are available after spending so much time wanting to do something and all that pent-up energy that when we finally do, that avenue opens up and we start seeing all these different places and ways that we can help. We kind of do bite off more than we can chew, as we say down south.
Mm-hmm. Or as Josh was saying, expensive.
Right. Things are expensive. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Katie, I have some questions coming in from Twitter. Somebody posts and asks, where are we at? Do you have a website? So that I don't believe that we have. I have one for you. You don't have a physical website, right, for people to go to?
No, I don't have a website. Just my
not
Facebook
yet,
group.
But you can find her on Facebook, and we're going to link her through all our Pawtime Radio sites, so you can find her there. I know she's also, I think, on Instagram as well, right?
Yes, I'm on
okay,
Instagram.
Okay, so they can follow us there. I also have a question that asks about self care. What do you do for self care?
Oh, self care. My puppies is big for me. I have four Shih Tzus, and they are my world. When I get stressed out, I'll cuddle up with one of them, and the world melts away.
So the next question I have, okay, do you have something to say, Brady?
I was just going to ask, within self-care, and I was just sitting here thinking about, coming, you plus you, and I was thinking about the process that you've gone through. How's your relationship with your children been since? Did you equals you have an impact on that as well?
Kind of not really. I mean, it changed a lot for me personally, inwardly. But by the time I learned U Equals U, I'd also been in transition for about a year, and my family take it well. They left last June, and unfortunately, I haven't seen any of them since.
Such a shame. Such a shame that people can't accept people for who they are. Well, then also want to talk about. I do know that you are also now seeing someone. You are with a partner whom I got to meet this summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to talk about Miss Jamelian, her crazy self.
Yep, she's awesome. She's everything I'm not. I mean, I'm shy. She's bold.
She's
very
bold.
She is not shy about letting you know what she thinks or and she likes to have fun. You know, she'll have fun with anyone. She never meets a stranger, and I mean, you know, she helps me to come out a lot, out of my shell, because you know, like I said, I'm really shy. You know, a few years ago, I probably couldn't even do this interview.
I love it. That's so amazing. Well, I do know that was, just to reminisce a little bit, that when that group of five or six Air Force guys came on the beach and started sitting right there in front of us, and Jamie Lynn was hoopering and hollering and saying, take our picture. She was so funny. It was so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, she's something.
But she's all yours. You guys make a great match, you know. Opposites attract, and I think that's kind of, you know, the way it works. She definitely, I could see her bringing anybody out of their shell, really. They can do something out for a couple minutes.
Yeah, she will.
Good deal.
Go ahead.
What's next on your radar? What's coming up next for Katie? What do you have in the works?
I don't know. I'm just following the river as it goes along, I guess. I'm just trying to work on what I am doing. I guess what's in the works is, I have, since graduating from the Positive Women's Policy Fellowship.
What all did that entail, Katie? I saw a lot about the Positive Women's Policy Fellowship. What all did that entail?
Oh, a lot. They teach so much about how government works, interacting with government. Advocacy techniques and you know, just so much. I mean, it's about like a college course, but it's I really got a lot out of it. And I was in there with an amazing group. The class I was with are such amazing women. I feel fortunate to have been in that class.
Awesome.
But since graduating from the Policy Fellowship, I became Alabama State Lead for the Positive Women's Network, and I'm working with another woman, Lisa Johnson Lett, who is another awesome woman here in Alabama. We are trying to build a group of women interested in advocacy to hopefully build a PWN Alabama chapter.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Katie, our time is running short, but I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story with us, with all of us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wait a minute, Brady. Let me ask one more question. I know right now we kind of are going off air, but we're kind of still recording, so people who are listening are still going to hear this. I just, you know, we kind of ask this question to everybody who comes on the show, Katie. I just want to know if there is a young, you know, transgender woman who is newly diagnosed, what advice would you give to her?
Don't be afraid. It's not as bad as you might think. HIV is not what it used to be. It's not what you probably think it is. It's a manageable condition that you can live, that you can still live and have a normal, healthy, happy life. As far as transitioning, newly transitioning, just be yourself. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be people who turn away from you, and you have to let them go and hope that the time will come when you can reconnect. But you have to be you. You have to be true to yourself and be who you really are, because that's the only way you'll ever truly be happy, is to be true to yourself.
There you had it. You heard it here from Katie. Be true to who you are, Katie. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at some upcoming conferences soon. Hopefully, maybe Healthy Voices.
I love that.
That would be awesome. So thank you. All right, Katie. Thank you so much. Have a great night. All right, Brady, another great showdown. Next week we have Billy Willis joining us, so that should be pretty awesome. We're going to hear his story for the first time. If you ever get his bio, Jimmy, hurry up, Billy. All right, Brady.
Well, since he didn't want to bio, I'll tell everyone real quick that next week it is Billy Willis, a great HIV advocate living in North Carolina. He was very heavily involved in helping to get North Carolina's HIV criminalization laws modernized. So we'll be talking about all that next week.
Go. So join us next week. Till then, talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Pause I Am Radio, your dose of hope. Connect with the show at pauseiamradio.com or on social media, and we'll see you next time.